Sometimes I look at a text in the middle of the week and think, okay, I know where I'm going, there's my sermon title. And then a few days later I realize, same text, different title, different approach. So ignore the title in your bulletin. The title today is Penned Up. And we are going to look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and he's speaking to all of those who are around him, in addition to the Pharisees at this time. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you have shared with us this morning. May they be a blessing to us as we journey together faithfully in service to you and to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A year ago in April, my wife Christy made one of the biggest mistakes in her life. Now, I was required for a preaching class at Moody Bible Institute to preach a sermon on a passage from the book of James, and it had to be recorded in order to be sent in to the professors in Chicago to be graded. And at the time, I looked around for a congregation that might be willing to have me come preach this sermon. And my dad invited me to preach this sermon at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Muncie. So I went up there and preached that sermon twice. And here's where Christy messed up. She sent me by myself and stayed behind. Before services, between services, and after services, I was able to play with my dad's English Springer Spaniel, Katie, who we have a picture of. We have sheep. Oh, there she is. There's Katie. Katie is my dad's English Springer Spaniel. So I was a little nervous that day. Katie sensed that and paid lots of good attention to me that day. And during lunch, when I talked about how much I had enjoyed Katie's company, my sister Melissa pointed out that Katie's parents had just had another litter, and I could easily get my very own Springer Spaniel. If Christy had been there, probably wouldn't have happened. A few weeks later, pictures showed up in my email. And we're going to see it right here. That's Gracie. So I saw that picture, and there wasn't much of a chance of turning back. We drove up to Lycoming County to meet her. And when I met her, I was hooked. So on Memorial Day, Gracie made the trip from Lycoming County to Juniata County to live with us. And so we have another picture. That's Gracie when she was coming to live with us. So, Christy, who swore that she would never own a dog, became a dog owner extraordinaire. It's not something she wanted, But when Christy returns home now from going out and doing something, Gracie is so excited by her return that she shakes and she jumps and she runs from room to room like a mad dog. And you know what? I get a little touched. Now, is Gracie all that I expected? To that, I can honestly say no. She is nothing like I expected. And she's nothing like Christy expected either. There's much about Gracie that has been a pleasant surprise amongst all the additional problems that having a dog adds to one's life. What I find most interesting, however, is how unique her personality is in relation to other dogs that I've encountered. I enjoyed Katie, but Gracie is not Katie. Gracie is her own dog. When we brought her home and tried to follow all the puppy rules that you're given when you get a puppy, we found out that maybe the rules don't apply to every single dog. Now, one of those rules was use a crate. And we tried to use a crate, and she hated it. If we left her in the crate when we left, we came home to a drooling, quivering mess. If we crated her at night, she did her best, even at 8 weeks old, to emulate a mournful howl. And she'd keep it up for 30 minutes to an hour until she was exhausted and I assume she collapsed. She hated the pen that we had given her. But then we let her have free rein of the house, and she was a happy dog, and actually very surprised the night that we didn't make her go into that pen. So I thought, okay, this is a dog that revels in freedom. So I tried to take her on a car trip, and she was absolutely terrified. Today, if she is suspicious that she might have to get into a car, she hides. When I find her, I've learned that I have to put the leash on her right there where I find her so I can drag her out of hiding. And what does she do? She pulls back on that leash as hard as she possibly can, plants her butt on the ground, and makes it really, really hard to drag her along. I have to pick her up, throw her into the car, and slam the door shut before she can bolt. And when we're driving, she shakes and she drools in amounts that must be seen to be believed. If it was up to Gracie, she'd just stay in the safety and security of the house and what she knows. And for that, I have one more picture. It's our baby Gracie with her Binky. Gracie didn't care for the pen that we had created for her. She couldn't stand it, but she sure didn't mind the one that she had created for herself. And this past Sunday, we bolted out of church to visit my parents for Mother's Day, and we brought Gracie along so that she could play with Katie. And we went through that whole routine that I just described, and she was terrorized for just over the hour that it took to get to Muncie, Pennsylvania. But when we arrived and we let her loose with Katie, she acted like she was in heaven. She ran and she played for the rest of the day as only two dogs together can do so. She didn't want to get in that car. She didn't want to ride in the car. And she shook and she drooled. But when we arrived and she was able to experience the other side of that journey, guess what? It was all worth it. Jesus says that he came to give us life, and so that we could have that life abundantly. And he tells us that he leads his sheep out of the pen and into the pasture, into that abundant life. Now, none of us want to be crated. None of us want to be put in a pen by somebody else. And we resist that as hard as we can. But many of us also resist the idea of leaving that relative safety and security of our own self-created pens. We pull back on our leashes and we shake and we drool because there's too many variables. There's too many unknowns out there. There's too many risks that we might need to overcome. And let's face it, we believe there's too much that we're going to have to give up. Now, shepherding today is nothing like what it was in first century Palestine. At that time, sheep were often with their shepherds for many, many years, and the shepherds would individually name their sheep. Shepherds even used a very unique language with sheep. It was a very loud language, and the shepherd would imitate animal sounds arranged in a sort of order that the sheep could understand. And in that language, the shepherd could and actually did call sheep by individual names. The sheep would know who their shepherd was, and they would respond to him. And if someone else came along and tried to use their name or tried to call them, those sheep would actually sense danger and flee from the stranger. The sheep knew the voice of their shepherd and could be called by name. During the day, the shepherd led the sheep out to pasture for food. He checked the path for safety, and he spent the day encouraging the sheep to follow. When a flock wouldn't cross a stream, the shepherd might carry a lamb across that stream. And when the mother sheep would see the lamb on the other side, she would follow. And then the rest of the flock would follow across the stream. Sometimes a shepherd might designate a particular sheep as a leader and put a bell around its neck, which designated its leadership. And if the shepherd and the lead sheep would move out of sight of the flock could be brought to them either by the voice of the shepherd or the sound of the bell. The sheep did not like being without the shepherd or the leader, so they would stampede together until they found them. Then at night, the flock would be led by the shepherd back to the pen, or the sheepfold, as it says in today's scripture. Sometimes this pen might be a cave, or it might be a guarded area with a gate. And this pen would actually hold the flocks of various shepherds. And there would be a gatekeeper who would let the shepherds in and out of the pen. Then in the morning, when it was time to graze, the flocks would separate themselves to follow their own shepherd out. The sheep would actually be intermingled overnight, but in the morning would separate themselves to follow the voice of their own personal shepherd. They knew the voice of their shepherd, and they followed their shepherd. They didn't follow any other shepherd. A few weeks ago, we heard the story of the man who was blind from birth, and how Jesus restored his sight. But you'll recall that the Pharisees didn't believe the man, and they cast him out of the synagogue. And Jesus went back to the blind man. And when he went back to them, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And the blind man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Some of the Pharisees observed this interaction, and they spoke up. They said, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." And he immediately follows those words with the words of today's gospel in John chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." It's not just the shepherd who wants us to follow him. There are many people and voices and things competing for our lives. Even within these pens that we've set up for ourselves to protect us and our own interests, we find that we are not safe. There are thieves who will try to take us away from our shepherd. And thieves are subtle. They enter into our lives in covert ways. They quietly climb over the walls and they tell us not to worry. There will be time tomorrow to take care of that. There's always another day for entering into abundant life. Today, why don't you just take it easy? Why don't you hang around in your pen, watch some TV, maybe have another drink. Maybe you should just sit around following link after link after link on the internet. Maybe you should just play another game. Just so you don't spend time with your shepherd. Anything at all to keep you from the Word of God and to keep you from prayer, to keep you from relationship with your rightful shepherd. And then there are the robbers. And the robbers who are much more violent and dramatic than these subtle thieves. The robbers will say, worry about abundant life tomorrow, because today, you know what you need to do? You need to obsess and complain about what other people think about this school resolution to be voted on. Abundant life can wait till next week. You've got bigger worries like this vote coming up on Tuesday. Abundant life can wait. This conflict that you're having with your neighbor is too important to put aside right now. Abundant life can wait. You're too busy trying to gratify yourself and to feed your favorite sins. I don't have time for abundant life right now, Good Shepherd, because I've got to find a job. Once I get my life in order, then we can start talking about abundant life. Then I'll get back to the Word. Then I'll get back to church. Then I'll get back to fellowship with other believers. I just need to have the time again. And if all of that is not enough, there are people who enter into our lives who would lead us astray given the opportunity. And all of this takes place while we are in our pens, where we think we are safe from risk, and we are safe from harm, and we are safe from change. And where does this sort of life lead us? It can lead you to a life that feels sort of boring, sort of day in and day out. And can lead you to a life in which you just sort of accept those things that aren't working out in your life. It can lead you into a life in which you blame others for your problems. It can lead you into a life with a constant feeling of anxiety and disconnectedness. One in which we know that something is wrong, but we have no idea what to do about it. But Jesus comes up to the door of our pen, and the gatekeeper opens the door for him, knowing that he is the rightful shepherd of many of the sheep in the fold. And who are his sheep? His sheep are those who hear his voice and follow him. Now the man born blind responded to the voice of Jesus, and he was healed. We know that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, but he hears the voice of the Lord, and he is raised from death. Mary Magdalene goes to the garden to weep and to mourn her Savior, but she hears the voice of Jesus, and she recognizes him as her resurrected Lord. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them out of a life of blindness. He leads them out of lives of despair and grief. He leads them away from the thieves and the robbers, and he leads them out of death. And some, like that mother sheep, will cross the stream to get to her lamb. Or that lead sheep with the bell will go through the gate confidently. But what about those sheep, like Gracie, that pulls back on the leash, plants her butt on the floor, and begins to shake and drool. Those who can't imagine how they will get through the next few hours, let alone the next days or the next weeks or the next years, into abundant and eternal life. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It says, when he has brought out all his own. But it's an occasion in Scripture where the Greek is much more strongly worded than the English translation of the Greek. Now, the word for brought out in Greek is used elsewhere in the New Testament. It's used out for the following ideas: casting out demons, throwing out money changers, driving out the ruler of the world. Every time this word is used, Jesus is pulling, he's pushing, he's throwing, he's yanking. Gracie pulls back on the leash and I drag her to the car, pick her up and throw her in and slam the door. And you know what? I think more of us are like Gracie than we are like that sheep with the bell that just follows. We don't want to go through the unknown. We don't want to give up all those things that we've put together in our lives. We don't want to give up the busyness. We don't want to give up the grief. We don't want to give up the depression. We don't want to give up the distractions. We don't want to give up the crutches. We want the Good Shepherd to come into the pen and leave us there. Just sort of hang out with us and make us feel better right where we're at. But you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd picks us up, throws us out of the pen, and then leads us with his voice. And you have a choice at that point. You can look back over your shoulder and you can move right back into that pen. But you know what? You're going to be there by yourself without your shepherd. And you're going to be visited by those thieves and those robbers. Or you don't look back and you follow your shepherd into the pasture, into abundant eternal life. And that is the meaning of the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus didn't come into the world so that we'd feel more comfortable in the world. He came into the world to lead us out of the world. And not eventually, not sometime down the road, but to lead us out of the world right now. Jesus gave up everything to free us from our bondage to sin, from our addictions, from all things that would hold us back from eternal, abundant life. And he is the only way to salvation. There is no other. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and go out and find pasture. Now, after leading his sheep back from the pasture into the sheepfold, into the pen, a good shepherd would inspect each and every sheep as they came in to make sure that they were all accounted for, and to make sure that they weren't injured. And he would heal their hurts. He would bind them up. And if a sheep was thirsty, he would give that sheep water. And then you know what the shepherd did? He laid down across the doorway to keep intruders from entering. The shepherd becomes the doorway. The shepherd becomes the sole determiner of who entered and who was excluded from that pen. Today, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is calling your name. And maybe he's calling you to be part of his flock. And if you hear that voice, don't go back into the pen, but follow him out. The gift of salvation is the most important gift you will ever receive. And convincing yourself that you have more time, or that there is no condemnation, or that there is no hell is the biggest mistake that you will ever make. Listen to His voice. Maybe you are part of His flock, but you've been trying to live your life in the pen. An abundant life can't be lived there. The resurrected life happens in the pasture with the shepherd. Now in the pasture is where all the risk is. It's where all the dangers are. But you have to leave everything behind to get there. But know this, you have a shepherd who watches over you, who binds you up, who gives you water, who calls you by your name. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is calling you out of the complacency of life in the pen into an abundant life in relationship with Him, an abundant life of service to Him, and an abundant life of service to others as you journey with Him out of this world. Now, for all her worrying and shaking and drooling, Gracie found out that the other side of the trip was something infinitely better than she could have experienced in her daily routine life. So this week, I challenge you to take an opportunity to just go for it. Get out of your pen, step out in faith, and see where Jesus takes you. Rather have Jesus and let Him lead. It is in the pasture that you will be filled. It is in the pasture that you can find purpose. And it's in the pasture that you can be used for God's glory. The Lord God says to us in Ezekiel 34:15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down. Jesus is calling you by name. Listen to Him. Amen.